Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
Ask for your prayers. I came out of Beth Davis meeting last week with this on my mind. Wanted to speak on it then. It's another simple message, simple doctrine. But nonetheless, it's on my mind. The brother last week spoke on sanctification, and he started talking about our sanctification, how we are to sanctify ourselves, and I wholeheartedly agree with everything he said, but my mind, Lydia's little drawing in my book, my mind goes, perhaps because I realize how vile that I am, my mind likes to think about the things that God has done for me, because I realize that I cannot do it of myself, and I thank God very much so for all things. But as we go into sanctification and we think about the meaning of the word, it means to be set aside, to be appointed to be taken from and placed. I think Paul said that in one example of God, that the less is blessed of the greater. Well, I would use that to say the less is sanctified by the greater. Thinking of God himself. And God is not sanctified. God is holy. The two have pretty much the same meaning, the word sanctified and the words holy. But only God is holy. We find in the 47th Psalm, speaking of God and thinking about the holiness of God. Only God is holy. God is separate from, God is above, God is self-sustaining, God is eternal with no beginning, with no end. Everything but God is created. God is holy. God is not weak. God cannot age. God cannot die. God is holy. God is above all this. Psalm 47, verse 6, and you can read the entirety sometime, but I'm going to go in verse 6 on the holiness of God. Sing praises to God, sing praises. That's what we do, try to do by His grace. Sing praises unto our King. God is the sovereign ruler of all things. The heavens are His throne. The earth is His footstool. He sits upon the circumference of the earth. God is a spirit. God is everywhere. God is. He told Moses, tell them, I am has sent you. And he told Moses, I am that I am. God cannot be explained. God cannot be known in the fullness of what God is. We see just a small portion of God. But my point to declare unto you is that God is not sanctified, but God is He who does sanctify. For God is the King of the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Now catch the 8th verse of 47th Psalm. God reigneth over the heathen, and God reigns over all. He reigns over His people in the throne of judgment, where He leads us and guides us and directs us and brings us into His will, into His purpose, into the knowledge of Him, into obedience to Him, and one day into a home in heaven above. But God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. God is holy. God is not in the way that it is defined, sanctified, because God is the sanctifier. It is He who does sanctifies. It is His purpose. It is His right. It is His privilege, because He is God, holy, far above all that is created. In Isaiah chapter 6, we find in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. not going too far into the context of explanation of the book of Isaiah, but just for bring it to remembrance that Israel had already ceased to exist. This man, Isaiah, was sent of God. He had to preach 3 years without any clothes on because God sent him to preach naked to show his people how they would be stripped naked. This man was a man that suffered greatly. This man was in a land that is so far away from God. We could tie that into today, could we not? But let's look at the text of God being holy. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. What did he see? How did he see it? He saw it by direct revelation from God. There is no way to know God except in Christ. John chapter 1 says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Revelation 1 says the revelation of Jesus Christ, the manifestation of the Father, the manifestation of God. Paul said in Timothy that God was manifest in the flesh. This is no way, there is no way to know God except through Jesus Christ. When Moses was called up upon the mount that where the bush was that burned and was not consumed, first of all, he saw the glory of God, which is in Jesus Christ, because he is the brightness of his image, the image of his person, and express he's the glory of God. Don't let me butcher that. Hebrews 3, the express image of him, 1-3, of his person, the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person. Thank you. There is no way to know God except in Christ, period. From beginning to end, we are creatures. He is holy. He's the ruler and king of the universe. He's the creator of all things. He is holy. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Where does our peace come from? It comes from the knowledge of God. Where does our understanding come from? It comes from the knowledge of God. It comes from the wisdom of God. The text is going to be on sanctification. Who knows? Who understands? Who sees? Those that God reveals it to. Who are those that God reveals it to? Those that he has sanctified for his purpose, both in this world and in eternal glory. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, king of all, ruler of all, master of all, judge of all, quick and dead. He saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. God gives us the understanding. God is a spirit and God is everywhere. But God gives us the understanding to show us a small portion of just exactly how high above us he is. How greater than us he is. He says the heavens are his throne. The blackness of the sky, the depth of the stars, beyond that heaven, the immortal kingdom, reign, existence of God. And here, way down below, is man and a fallen creation. And the text is about sanctification, so you bear in mind that God sanctified a people in this low creation or this fallen creation. Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train, his glory, filled the temple. The heaven itself abounds with the glory of God. Heaven, which has no end, cannot contain the fullness of the glory of God. Think about that. Think about how holy, apart, and separate that God is above this sin-cursed earth, this fallen creation, and fallen man whom God created in his image, good and upright. His train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. He could not look upon God A seraphim is mentioned one time in the scripture. He's there around the throne of God. He cannot look upon God. Two of his wings cover his face because there God is in his brightness, in the fullness of his glory. With twain he covered his feet because he's not walking. He's lifted up in the power of immortal, eternal God. And with twain he did fly because God hath exalted him. What is his purpose? What was he created for? All we see him do is around the throne of God declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So powerful the glory of God. So powerful the holiness of God, the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and that's the cherubim, who's declaring, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." How much greater is the God who created it that this creature, this seraphim, is there declaring his holiness? How much greater is God than the creature? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. God is above. I've given you this many times, but I'm going to read it and give you a little explanation as we go through this today. Habakkuk 1. I'm going to read from verse 12 and 13, but I want to give you an understanding of what's going on in the text that I'm about to read. He is speaking of the Chaldeans because God would use them to punish Judah, his children, who had gone astray. Is it not the right of God to punish? Is it not the right of God to chasten? Is it not the right of God to chasten those he loves as a father chastens his children? Yes, it is. Is it not part of God's holiness? And yes, it is. And that he must chasten those he loves. That's what one thing we are sanctified unto is to be a part, to bear the image of the glory of God. That's why we'll be raised up in the likeness of Christ, righteous. We spoke on that last week in God's purpose in the resurrection. But let's stay with the text here. He's talking about the Chaldeans and how they're going to fall, that is Judea, to the Chaldeans. Now bear that in mind when he's speaking in the text in verse 12, "Art thou not from everlasting?" This is the eternal God that the prophet is crying unto. "Art thou not from everlasting? From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Art thou not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, mine, Holy One." That "mine" makes it personal. My, as in possession of. That means actually you're the possession of him. But he has placed himself above you. He is above. He didn't place himself anywhere. He is. He is above us. He has created us and placed us and sanctified us in his purpose and in his will. "Mine, Holy One, we shall not die." When? When the Chaldeans come in. "O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment," because God would cause them to be judged by the Chaldeans. "Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction." What's the purpose of this judgment that the Chaldeans, that God would bring in the Chaldeans in the years of Nebuchadnezzar when they fell? 70 years of desolation for correction. It was all for correction. But listen to the holiness of God in verse 13. "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil." God cannot behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. And for the sake of my text today, I'm going to stop here. But bear in mind, the being of God, holy, separate, righteous, God, Creator, Father, all that he is, cannot look upon sin, cannot behold iniquity, because he is separate from and he cannot look upon it. which will bring us to Christ, who became flesh and laid aside the glory of God for the purpose of God. In John chapter 10, the Holy Spirit testifying, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself teaching of Him being the good shepherd who would gather the sheep. The sheep of Israel, the sheep among the Gentiles. The sheep would know, they would hear His voice. Why would they know? Because they are sanctified. They are appointed from before the world ever was to be with God, to be made righteous in the image of Jesus Christ. My sheep hear my voice. They know my name, and I know them. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Who is he talking to? We'll get to that in a moment. But the context is teaching us of him being the good shepherd. The context is about him being rejected of the leaders of the Jews, and this would defeat any false doctrine of those who say all the Jews were God's children. He plainly tells them, ye hear not my voice, for ye are not of my sheep. That is cut and dried. Yes, among the Jews. God had a people among the Jews sanctified unto eternal life, set aside unto eternal life. The Jews desired to stone him, accused him of blaspheming, because he said that he was the Son of God. He said, art thou the Christ? I have told you, but you heard not. You can't hear. You're not of my sheep. It is not given of God unto you to know, because you are not sanctified of God. You're not chosen of God. You're not among the elect of God. Oh, that hurts religious ears today, does it not? God's purpose in election, that every child of God he chose. But then he tells them here, to stay with the text in verse 36, as they desired to stone him, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified. So who was sanctified here? Christ. Jesus Christ. Say ye of him whom the Father, the God, the Creator, the Holy One that Isaiah saw high and lifted up, his glory filling the heavens. Say ye of him whom the sovereign God of heaven hath created, hath sanctified, not created. I'm sorry, that's us. Christ is not created. He's the eternal living Word of God, the eternal Sonship. Don't let me confuse you. Hath sanctified. The man God sanctified. The living Word that became flesh, that sanctified and sent into the world. Thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. Christ is sanctified of God. When? From before the foundation of the world. For what? We'll see now. John 17. Jesus is talking about the first century church here, and more likely, or more in my mind, evident, especially the apostles, because of what they would go through and what he was going through here, because he was about to be hanged upon the cross. He was about to lay his life down. He was praying that God would keep these men whom he had chosen and sanctified. He says in verse 16 of John 17, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus Christ is the truth of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does that mean? That means the judgment of God, the purpose of God, the will of God, everything that Christ manifested to us, everything that Christ would do to bring forth, everything he was sanctified to do and saving his people from their sins and fulfilling and finishing, because it is a finished work, the work of God that God gave him to do. Here he's speaking of the foundation of the church. the apostles and prophets, Christ being the head cornerstone. He's speaking of first century church there, and I'll give you that in a moment, but he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The will of God, the purpose of God, what God declared from the beginning of the end, from beginning to end. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. They're apostles. There were 11 at that time. Apostle means sent. What were they sent to do? To lay the stones in the foundation of the church. Christ is the cornerstone. They would build upon that. As God began building the church, who did he build it for? Well, he built it for Christ. What did he build it of? Those who were sanctified. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. You see, here is Christ. Back to John 10:36. Say you of him whom the Father has sanctified. God sanctified the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ. He appointed it. He set it up. He set him aside. He sanctified him. That's why he is the head of all things. That's why when the last day comes, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He will destroy death completely. When the last promised heir of God is born of the Spirit, there will be no more death. He will deliver up the kingdom. Why him? Because he sanctified to do so. Because the Father chose him to do so. For their sakes, you notice there's two here. The Father sanctified. The living Word, the Christ, the Son, the Word who became flesh, the living Word who became flesh. That entails a covenant. That entails an agreement. That entails a statement, a declaration. And the power and the purpose of God. Because the Father spake, the Son replied, the song we just sang, the Spirit with them both complied. A perfect covenant. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I've been wanting to since I got up here, Ephesians 1 and 4, according as he hath chosen us in him from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before God the Father in love. There is a covenant. Who did he die for? Those given in the covenant. Those sanctified. If you take election out of the Bible, there's nothing left. Because it is the purpose of God. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Sanctified through the truth. Again, the will and purpose of God. The truth manifested. Let's go to Exodus. Give you a few Old Testament types of Christ as we move forward. Exodus 19, then I'm going to 28, then I'm going to 29. Exodus 19. We find in the time when God had called Moses up unto the mount, and God said in verse 5, just moving quickly, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and here's what I want you to see, and an holy nation. A holy nation. A separate nation. God chose this people, stiff-necked as they were, rebellious as they were, sinful as they were. God chose this people to sanctify as God's physical people, kingdom in this world. That God would sanctify them, that God would carry them for as long as that old law covenant would be in existence. Now, verse 14 of Exodus 19, because he separated them. Now, Exodus 19:14, and Moses, a type of Christ, a picture of Christ, went down from the mount unto the people. Christ would come and lay aside his glory and come to this world unto the people, unto his people. He sanctified the people, speaking of Moses. Christ sanctified the children of God, and they washed their clothes. How do they wash their clothes? What has God sanctified us unto in the church here, in the world, in this time existence, this temporal existence where we sojourn and pass through, being strangers and pilgrims? What has God sanctified us unto? To serve God, to be glorified in God as the assembly unto obedience. May get to that in a moment if I got time. They wash their clothes. How do we wash our clothes? By walking in the Spirit of God, for which God has sanctified us by and unto. Exodus 28, 40, dealing with the priesthood, a type. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. God was creating the priesthood and the law of service. All the beauty of the linen, the purple linens, and all the gold and the things upon their attire and their bonnet, their hood. All that God created, the beautiful, fine things. That we might see the beauty in the priesthood which God sanctified. Don't you dare give this glory to a man. Which God gave. You were to make these things. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them. They anointed with oil. Christ anoints with the Holy Spirit. And consecrate them to give them power, to empower them. God chose the sons of Aaron. God chose the priesthood today, or the priest, the ministry. That's what I'm dealing with here. Sanctified of God for the purpose of teaching his children. God takes death, makes it life. God takes nothing, makes it profitable unto him and his kingdom. God calls ministers. And God empowers them. We do not need men teaching men in seminaries. We don't need colleges. We don't even need college education. I knew a man that could not even read that came here in my childhood and preached. His wife would read him the Bible at home. He'd come into church on Sunday morning, and the times that he came and the Spirit of God blessed him to preach and teach the gospel of God, never learned to read, never went to a seminary, and had his mind corrupted with the teachings of men. But he says, consecrate them because God gives that power. And here's my point, and sanctify them. Set them aside. They were to set aside the sons of Aaron. Christ sets aside those he sanctifies, those he chose, those he sends into the ministry. Did he not choose the apostles and disciples? Everything in the Bible is about God's choice, God's power, God's work, being sanctified and separated from this sin-cursed earth and doing the work of God by God's power, grace, glory, and mercy. Why did Christ hang between two men? The one on the right went to glory. The one on the left was left in his own state of nature. You see, the one on the right being sanctified of God. Yes, that old thief. Kind of gives us hope, doesn't it? What's the purpose? That they may minister unto me in the priest's office. 29:42. He's talking about sacrifices, two lambs, morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice. Under the law, I'm not talking about the sacrifices. That sacrifice all pointed to Christ, but I want you to understand, talking about sanctification. He said, this will be a continual burnt offering throughout your generation. The door of the tabernacle with the generations of the law are over. We do this no longer. Where I will meet you. Who does God meet? Those he set aside to meet with. Those he sanctified. To speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel. This is the church, brethren, a picture of it. And the tabernacle, the assembly, the place where God ordained the saints of God would meet with him, shall be sanctified, set apart from what? The world, the death of the world, the people of the world. By my glory. Now let's come to the book of Hebrews that Paul wrote to the Jews, comparing things in the law, which were types and shadows of better things to come. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Could go back farther, but I'm going with this for the sake of time. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels. This is the holy God in the flesh. This is the holy God in the flesh, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. What every man? If he died for all of Adam's race, then all of Adam's race will be in eternal glory. But we know that's not the case. Those he sanctified. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Here's my point. For both he that sanctifieth, Christ sanctifies us. I hope to prove that in just a moment. And they who are sanctified, every elect child of God, none can be added, none can be lost, are all of one, and that is God the Father. God the Father who sent the Son. God the Father who sanctified the Son to come and save the people that God set aside, that God sanctified. The word in this text means set apart to be glorified, set apart to be righteous, set apart to worship God, set apart to serve God, set apart to dwell with God. For which cause he is not ashamed to cause them brethren. Speaking of Christ, Hebrews 10. Speaking of a shadow of good things to come, way back there in the law and to today. I'll start with verse 6 to make a point. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. There was no pleasure given to God. There was no cleansing. There was no doing away with sin and killing all those animals that were murdered. Listen to me. Lord have mercy, that were killed. Putting an animal in a place of a man, talking about murder. How stupid. Lord help me today. The blood of all those animals did not redeem one person. It did not pay for any sin. But it yearly brought into remembrance the sins of the people of God who had been sanctified to serve God, who would be some of them sanctified to dwell with God in the New Testament church when Christ came, because some of those were from the nation of Israel. But my point unto you is, all those things did nothing but to bring into remembrance the fallen nature of man, the sin of all mankind. Every year you make this sacrifice. Every year you're going to remember when you slay this animal, when you shed its blood, when you take its life. God was not happy in the sacrifice because it had no purpose to cleanse us, just to bring into remembrance, according to the text and the purpose listed here. Then said I, lo, this is Christ, come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. He's speaking of Christ. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offering and offering for sin, thou wouldest not. neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. The law was being done away with. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second in Christ. I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he, who is he? Christ. Upon this rock I will build my church, that he may establish the second. He whom God sanctified, he who had come to sanctify you, child of God, by his own power, by his own purpose. By the which will we are sanctified. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. What are we sanctified by? The body of Christ. The life, death, burial, resurrection of the Son of God. The body of Christ. 13, Hebrews, verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. The law has no right to this. This is grace. For the bodies of those beasts, speaking of the sacrifices, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. How were you sanctified? In the blood of Christ. In laying that body down. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The man that God sanctified, Jesus Christ, laid down his life. He shed his blood for you. And in that, he sanctified you. I don't have to get up here and preach to you to come do this or come do that to get eternal life. I stand here and tell you about the glory of an all-powerful, eternal God without beginning, without end, who is holy and just and above all things, who loved you, who chose you, who sanctified you, who died to save you from your sins and raised up for your justification. 1 Corinthians 1, make a few points. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. We know the story of Paul, the true history is a better way of saying it. It's not a made up story, it's a history. On the road to Damascus, persecuting the church, being a Jew himself, a Pharisee, desiring to destroy those who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here was a man brought up under the law, Pharisee of the Pharisees, Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, the warrior tribe. Here's a man that stood for what he thought was right, thought he was doing good because he went forth persecuting those who were in his mind blaspheming against his God. He didn't know the difference. He couldn't see the difference. I can't tell you about something that I don't know. God gives it to us. In what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Who does he give it unto? He tells us. But he says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, a vile, sinful city. Aren't you glad God calls people out of vile, sinful cities? Aren't you glad God sent his Son into the world to sanctify people who were in death, who were in sin, who were in sickness, who were in disease, both spiritually and physically? Aren't you glad that God, that Christ is a friend of sinners? Aren't you glad that God came to sanctify those that he loved to bring us forth out of these things? And what do we have? Let's talk about it. Unto the church of God is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified. Who is that? The elect of God. No more, none less. What's after that? Called to be saints. Now, this is not something. Paul, Rome, says is a saint, and they declare somebody a saint. They don't have the authority. God has that authority because God chose them. God sanctified them. God cleansed them. Call to be saints, for ye see your calling, brethren, whom he foreknew, them he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he foreknew, them he also called. How does God sanctify you? You're sanctified by the Spirit of God. If I haven't proved that, I hope to in a moment if the clock doesn't go too far. Sanctified by the Spirit of God unto good works and obedience. Sanctified by the Spirit of God. Called. How are you called? By the Spirit of God. When God cleanses you in the blood of Christ. Sanctifying you with His Spirit. Setting you aside. There's a difference between you and the world. There's a difference between you and the wicked. Even though we're sinners while we live in this body, there's a difference. The Spirit of God dwells within you. Called to be saints. Called from the death of sin. Called unto Christ. With all that in every name call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. What do we have in this while we live in this world? Grace be unto you. Isn't that precious? The unmerited love and favor of God. When I have done something I should not have done, whether accidentally or intentional, when I have thought something I should not think, if I'd have watched that ball game last night, I'd have had a lot of things I need to repent of this morning. But that grace loves, that grace forgives, that grace which sanctified you, which set you aside, which set you apart. Sanctification unto God and His purpose. Set aside. And peace in Christ from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace from God through Christ. We have peace with God from Christ. Verse 30, making a point and moving. But of Him, God, are ye who love God in Christ Jesus. God hath made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have been set aside, appointed, oh yes, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. Is that 1 Thessalonians 5? Appointed, set aside, sanctified. In Christ, from God, who of God is made unto us, Christ made unto us wisdom, the knowledge of God, the mystery from the foundation of the world, being hidden, the power of God, the will of God. Christ is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, for we have the righteousness of Christ Jesus, perfect and without blame, imputed upon us. Imputed, those who are sanctified. Of God who has made into us wisdom and righteousness. Where does our peace come from? It comes from grace. It comes from the things He's telling us here in Christ. And sanctification. Christ was made unto us our sanctification in His death, burial, and resurrection, in the shedding of His blood. We are sanctified to God forever and redemption. There's our salvation. Let's go a step further. I'm going the wrong way to get there. 2 Thessalonians. Speaking of perilous times, I'm not getting into that today. Chapter 2, I just want to make a point on sanctification. The Apostle Paul, in spite of all these things that are going to go on in this world and are going forth today, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved, of the Lord. God loved you from everlasting to everlasting. There has never been a time God did not love His people. For God is eternal and God has always known all things. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. I don't like that. It's not fair. I'm so sorry. God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. Sanctification and being given life by the Spirit. Goes back to Genesis. That He put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. The birth of the Spirit that the children of God have. Through sanctification of the Spirit. How does it work further? By the Spirit leading us and teaching us to walk apart from the world. Being sanctified, being ordained unto good works that God's Spirit leads us into. Hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. All you got to do is believe. You do not have the ability to believe unless God has given it to you. God sanctified His people. They are given in regeneration and the new birth the ability, or they're given to know God, period. Period. Wherein too He called you by our gospel to the attaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me get to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. You all know this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the stranger scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect. I'm sorry, Arminian. Elect. According to the foreknowledge. Now, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry that all of God's children cannot see and understand this precious truth, the grace of God, that God loved us, that God chose us, that God sanctified us in the blood of His Son, who paid for our sins upon Calvary's cross, and His justification and His resurrection were brought forth unto life. We're justified to life, and therefore we serve God with a hope planted within us in the Spirit of God that we'll see Him one day. That is precious. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Through what? Sanctification of the Spirit, which gave us life and set us aside because we're sanctified of the Father from before the foundation of the world, because the Son was sanctified for us, the Son of God, because in His death, burial, and resurrection, He had sanctified us. Set us aside, for we are appointed not to wrath. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, appointed to, sanctified, given to. It can't be taken away. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Here's the work of God also, unto obedience. For it is God which worketh in you, both to do and to will and to do of His own purpose. What did He say in Titus? That we are a peculiar people, created unto good works. Ephesians 2, for we are His workmanship, created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God took us. God sanctified us. God changed us from the sin and death of the world. Give that glory to God. That is the purpose. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace. There's what you have. Grace unto you, and peace in this sin-cursed earth. And then He says, be multiplied. Not once, but many times over. 1 Peter 3 and 5, that's why we're told by the same Apostle Peter, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Paul said in the Ephesian letter, if ye be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above. We're sanctified. When we walk with God, when we seek God, when we obey God, when we learn with God, of God, when we assemble together and we learn the precious truths of the power and the wisdom and the love and the knowledge, as small a portion of it as we may have and understand, we have great peace. We have great knowledge. God bless you.